John chapter 21, which is on page 115 in the New Testament section of your Bible. John chapter 21, verses 1 to 17. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself. Together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We'll go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach. But the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now, none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time,
Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your presence. We know you are right here. You have already spoken to Hannah, and we pray that you continue to speak to each and every one of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last Sunday, we had Doubting Thomas to come and share with us his side of the story. Do you remember? In the middle of the service, he walked in and put forth his questions, his doubts, his demands. And what is amazing is that Jesus really appeared before Thomas and showed him his pierced hands. Jesus had also appeared before Peter, John, and the other disciples twice in Jerusalem while they were praying behind locked doors in the upper room. But what happened to these disciples after the privileged encounters with the risen Lord? They returned to Galilee, to their hometown. They gathered at the Sea of Tiberias, another name for Sea of Galilee. Peter announced, "I'm going fishing." And the other disciples went with him. And these once fishermen got into the boat and went fishing all night. Were they fishing for fun? Or as a pastime sport like we do? I don't think so. They fished with nets. They fished all night. They were doing some serious fishing. They were going back to their old trade. Why are the disciples going back to the old job of fishing? Hadn't Jesus shown himself and commissioned them saying, "As the Father has sent me, so I sent you"? What are they doing back in the boat? But before we get too critical of the disciples, let us first examine ourselves. Haven't we also known the resurrected Lord? Haven't we also sung loudly the last 2 weeks, "Hallelujah, Jesus has risen"? But when we returned home after the Easter service, when we start working the next day, how are we? Do we go back to our old ways of living? Self-absorbed, self-sufficient, self-centered? What's next after meeting the risen Lord? What's next after professing that Jesus is our Lord and our God? Jesus did not rebuke the disciples going back fishing. He didn't even confront them. Instead of walk through locked doors and appeared right before them, as in the previous two occasions, Jesus stood on the shore this time. He could have walked on the water and got into their boat. But he chose to stand on the shore and called out to them, "Children, have you caught any fish?" Jesus gave them space. Jesus extended them a loving call. The disciples were probably surprised that a stranger called them children. But they replied to this kind man and say, "No, we haven't caught any for the whole night." "Cast the net to the right side of the boat and you will find some," the stranger said. Was he a stranger? Wait. This scene seems familiar. 3 years ago, also at a daybreak, also at a moment of no catch after a long night, a stranger came by and asked to use Peter's boat as a platform for him to teach the crowd gathered on the beach. After teaching, the stranger asked Peter to row out into the deep water and let down his nets for a catch. Now a similar command was issued. "Lower down your net, you will catch." And they acted as directed. And just as the first time, the catch this time was also enormous. The net had become so heavy that they almost could not haul it in. The demonstration of power dawned on the beloved disciple, John, who exclaimed, "It is the Lord!" Peter heard that it was the Lord, that he jumped into the water and swam to Jesus. Why did Jesus repeat the miraculous catch of fish? We have to understand how Peter must have felt that evening, standing at the shore of Galilee, about to return fishing. He was glad that Jesus was alive. But how would that relationship be? He had deserted Jesus. He had denied him 3 times. Will Jesus accept him? Will Jesus still love him? It is like how we know that God exists. We cannot deny him. We have even experienced him tangibly. But after we sin and dishonor God, we are afraid to return to him. Do you know where couples go to when their marriages are in trouble? They return to where they first met, or where they spent the honeymoon. They retrace the steps and remind themselves of the first love they had for each other. Peter may have forgotten how Jesus called him as a fisherman of men. But Jesus has not forgotten. We may have forgotten our first love for Jesus, but Jesus has not. Jesus calls us again. Jesus offers Peter another starting point. He also offers us a second chance to make things right. Remember the first love you had for Jesus? I remember I was in high school then, going through some turbulent years of adolescence. I questioned authority. I questioned the meaning of life. I questioned everything. A friend told me about Jesus, and all of a sudden, I was enlightened. I came to understand that Jesus created me in love, and it was no coincidence or accident that I came to this earth, but my life has a purpose. I responded to God's love by accepting the grace through Jesus Christ and lived fully for God with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. What about you? What is your story? Who is God to you? Have you grown closer to God? Or have your love grown cold? Like Peter, we want to be good. We want to follow Jesus. But when rubber meets the road, when under pressure, we forget about Jesus. Is it busyness that has crowded God out of your lives? God and career, God and family are not mutually exclusive. Our faith is to express not in a vacuum, but through daily living. We are asked not to retreat to a monastery up the mountain. We are asked to row down into the deep and cast our net for a big catch. We can continue fishing, but fishing in a different way and for a different purpose. Marketplace is the ministry place. My small group is held in Central on Wednesday during lunchtime. We meet in the office of one of the members. Last week, she asked one of her staff to join us. All the staff in the office knows that we are doing Bible study and her boss is a Christian. A few years ago, I'm not sure if she will feel as comfortable reviewing her Christian identity, because there may be struggles that she will then be watched and be held accountable to higher standards. Probably. But that's exactly how we share our faith. By being there. By being with the people. Leading an ordinary life, but shining forth an extraordinary power. There's a saying, preach the gospel every day. When necessary, use your mouth. Words are used when necessary, but who we are and how we live speak louder than words. We have a family attending union because of the good witness of a domestic helper. The boss has some marital difficulties, and the helper comforted her and brought her to Christ. The lady boss and her children are now attending our church regularly. Shouldn't we also have the courage to witness to our associates and our supervisors. And for the bosses, isn't it you have even more opportunities to be the centers of godly influence? As we abide in God, people will see God in us like treasure in clay jars. They will see that we are just like everyone, afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair. If we listen and follow Jesus, people like fish will be drawn to continue fishing, but now be fishers of men and women. Peter and the other disciples by now reached the shore. They were cold and hungry, and they found that Jesus had started a fire with fish and bread on the burning coals. And Jesus said to the disciples, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." Could Jesus have grilled enough fish? Wasn't he the first one to help them with a big catch? But Jesus wanted their participation. He wanted our participation. And so he said, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." Peter did, and hauled the net full of fish to shore. The disciples remained quiet throughout and dared not ask who he was, because they knew that it was the Lord. Finally, breakfast was ready. Jesus took bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. There's no mention of blessing or breaking bread, but the way Jesus served them breakfast, I'm sure, reminded them of the Last Supper. The bread and the fish are also reminiscent of the earlier feeding of the 5,000 on the shores of the very sea. Do you remember that Jesus fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish? It took place also in this very sea, the Sea of Tiberias. Jesus has not changed. He continues to be sensitive to both our physical and spiritual needs. His relationship with the disciples may have changed from physical appearance to abiding presence of the Spirit after Easter. But this appearance of His reminds us that our Lord continues to care for and provide for His people after the resurrection, just as He did before His passion. The relationship continues, and ever closer. After eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" It is not clear what Jesus meant by these. But from the context, what Jesus meant may be, "Simon, do you love me more than these fish? These things that gives you security, comfort. Simon, do you love me more than the fishing waters? The place where you feel most at home?" Peter replied, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." But the word for love that Peter used was filial, which means brotherly love. Peter, who once were quick to make bold claims saying, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will," now gained better understanding of himself and dare not overpromise. In responding to Jesus' question of whether he loved Jesus with agape love, unconditional love, Peter replied that he has brotherly love. He knows himself better now. And on the third time, Jesus asked Peter if he has brotherly love for him. It is as if Jesus is saying, "Peter, I understand human weakness. It is okay to have brotherly love for me." Jesus restored Peter. And what is significant is also that, of all places, this conversation took place by the fireplace. Remember, it was by the fireplace at the courtyard of the high priest that Peter denied Jesus 3 times. now by the fireplace again. Peter was given the opportunity to profess his love publicly for Jesus three times. Jesus restored Peter from guilt and shame. God's grace and forgiveness are greater than our sin. The key is, are we willing to receive forgiveness? There are some of us who may feel like Peter, who have dishonored God, who have done something that have broken the hearts of your loved ones, who have done something that you couldn't even accept yourself. But God can still use you. God can still use us. Jesus did not ask of Peter's past or of his ability. The only question that Jesus asked before commissioning him to tend his flock was, "Do you love me?" Love is the basic qualification for Christian service. Other qualities may be desirable, but love is indispensable. When Peter professed that he loved Jesus, Jesus commissioned him to feed his lambs, tend his flock. Loving Jesus and serving others are inseparable. Love follows with action. We love Jesus by caring for the sheep he loves. You may say, "I'm a sheep myself. How am I going to feed his sheep?" You may be a 2-year-old sheep, but there are lambs that are a few months old that you can care for. If you have children, I believe you must have say to your children, "Mom and Dad cannot always be with you, but you 2 and 3 look after each other." And can they do so? You bet they do. A 2-year-old can calm a crying baby. A 4-year-old can help a 2-year-old to get up from a fall. If they don't do so, it is not that they can't, but they don't want to. We too can and are given responsibilities to be shepherds for God's people and fishermen to the lost. And this is given even to Peter, who have denied Jesus 3 times. In revisiting his first love for Jesus, Peter realized that it was him who had changed, him who almost returned to his own way of living. But Jesus had not changed. Jesus cared for and provided for Peter just as before. Jesus had completely forgiven Peter. As Peter acknowledged his weakness, trust God in his brokenness, and received forgiveness, he was transformed. He changed his occupation from fisherman to evangelist, his identity from Peter the impetuous to Peter the rock, his perspective of living for himself to living for Christ. He joined other witnesses and proclaimed the good news of Easter. You and I also live after Easter. We are no longer on Good Friday, but beyond Easter. Christ has risen. Hallelujah. Go forth, experience, and extend the kingdom of God. Amen. On the night before Jesus' crucifixion, do you think that he knew that his disciples would desert him? Certainly. Yet he identified himself with the bread, broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you." Jesus did this before we even asked for forgiveness. He allowed himself to be consumed, to be literally inside us, to show how much he wants to be with us, to help us to move forward in our spiritual journey, to overcome the unforgiveness that we felt. What is your response? What is your response to God's love and God's offer of forgiveness? Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we do not know how to begin, how to thank you for your goodness and mercy. You are our Lord and our God. You are our refuge and tower of strength. Thank you. Thank you for your offer of forgiveness. And we pray that you now come and set apart this bread and wine that we are going to partake. That as we receive these elements, it is like receiving you. Thank you, Jesus. In your precious name we pray. Amen.